COVID-19 is posing an unparalleled cybersecurity challenge. You know, the only way to avoid publicity is to meet the cyber criminals' demands in the case of cyber ransomware. But that's not a good idea, because then they keep coming back.
There's a threat that has existed long before the COVID-19 pandemic disrupted mining operations. This threat is real and somewhat invisible. This threat is cybercrime. As companies move towards digitization and automation, they open themselves up to criminal elements intent on extorting millions of dollars through malicious cyber attacks. How real is this threat, and can companies fend them off? Hi, and welcome to Deep Insights. I'm Laura Cornish, Editor-in-Chief of Mining Review Africa. This week, Senior Editor Gerard Peter speaks to cybersecurity expert Mike Burgin of GECI about the dark world of cyber attacks in mining. Mike has decades of experience in this field and has championed cybersecurity solutions for major international companies. Let's join the discussion now.
Thank you, Mike, for joining us on Deep Insights today to discuss the threat of cybercrime to the mining industry. Mike, how real is the threat of cybercrime to the mining industry as compared to, say, online stores and financial institutions?
It's particularly real for the mines, because the mines are starting to digitize, if you like, move into the fourth generation industrial revolutions by using digitization, automation, and Internet of Thing devices. This is connecting devices to the internet. The mines are doing that because it can result in very significant operational efficiencies, which of course reduces costs and improves profitability. It's used to automate dangerous, repetitive, labor-intensive tasks, and in order to improve mine safety, which is of course very important for the mines. However, attaching devices to the internet comes at a cost. You know, there's an increasingly connected environment exponentially expands the threat surface. So the internet has got lots of unfortunate cyber criminals now, who use all kinds of techniques, which we can maybe cover later, to disrupt the company. And the mines are, when you digitize, you expose yourself to that threat surface. So it makes mining operations more vulnerable to cyber threats and more challenging to protect against those threats.
Mike, in light of the 14th Industrial Revolution and the Internet of Things, how frequent are these threats becoming?
Mining companies are more exposed, as I've said, to cybercrime through digitization, the Internet of Things, and the fourth industrial revolution. Hmm. But they have to actually digitize. They need to improve their operational efficiencies. It reduces operational costs. It brings production consistency, increases production capacity, increases the level of control at each stage of production, limits operational variances, improves precision. So there's a lot of benefits that can come out of the fourth industrial revolution. And that's why the mines are moving in that direction. But, you know, the integration, as I've said, Internet of Things, they call it IoT, devices into control systems, for example, industrial control systems and SCADA devices, which are used on the internet, attached to the internet, it opens them up, you know, to cyber threats. So these threats are very real. You know, they're coming all the time. They're happening all the time.
Mm. Right. Mike, earlier this year, you wrote an article for Mining Review Africa where you spoke about OT, which is operational technology. It's not a very well-known term. Can you just explain to us what does it mean and how does OT open up a mining company to a cyber attack?
Operational technology is basically those devices and control systems which manage devices, machinery, and plants and what have you. So we talk about industrial control systems, or ICS systems, and supervisory control and data acquisition. You want that data, the feedback of that data, in order to make your processes more efficient. And also using programmable logic controllers, you know, which all these machines have have had for many, many years. So that's basically when we talk about OT, it's those kinds of devices. IT, information technology, is that technology which supports the administrative processes of an enterprise. Now, in many instances, these two are kept separate. They keep a gap between them. So it's what they call a gap. But more and more companies are starting to link the two. And when you link into the internet, you open yourself up to cyber attacks. So that's basically the. It can also be introduced, by the way, into operational technology by simple devices like flash drives and other media, you know, which people then plug into a machine, into the computer, onboard computer of a machine, and can introduce a virus or a malware, as it's called, into the device. So that's basically the difference between IT and OT. The industrial Internet of Things. I think I've already mentioned that it's basically the same as the Internet of Things, with attaching devices in an IT environment, but in an operational environment. So operational technology environment.
Okay, Mike, what are the reasons why a criminal would want to hack into a mining company?
Okay, there are a number of reasons. It could be a competitor. So, you know, a competitor could buy basically the services of a cyber criminal in order to do espionage, to find intellectual property of a competitor, just to find out how the competitor is improving their operations or what kind of technology, new technology they're using. So it could be just straight espionage. There's a lot of cyber warfare going on between countries. And that's particularly the major players there are organized, you know, like the United States, Russia, Iran, North Korea. They're playing these war games using cybercrime. And basically, they try to bring down major companies or even industries in order to get to weaken the nation's economy. Then there's the theft of PI. So intellectual property, personal intellectual property, credentials, financial data. And the way they do that is through emails, through a process is called phishing, where they try to get an individual to open an email and provide information or provide access to the criminal, to that individual's laptop, for example, in order to get financial information, banking information, access to the accounts and things like that. So that's a third reason. And then environmental activism is a fourth one, where environmentalists who are annoyed with a company for example, a mining company, open mining, you know, destroys the environment. So you get these activists who then use cybercrime to disrupt the operations of a company, of a mine.
Clearly, the threat of cybercrime is real to mining companies. We'll continue the discussion after this short message.
We'll not let distance stop us from bringing you informative and up-to-date content from Central Africa's most strategic mining district. Join the DRC Mining Week digital event on 17, 18 and 19 June, where industry experts will chart the way forward to a brighter mining future. Register now. Secure your spot for the virtual event on drcminingweek.com.
Welcome back. Let's continue our discussion with Mike Bergen of GECI on the devastating and crippling effects that cybercrime has on mining operations. Mike, can you list a few notable cyber attacks on major mining houses in recent years? And what was the impact of these attacks on these companies?
You know, most of the big mining houses have been attacked. Rio Tinto, Fortescue Metals, BHP Billiton, Potash Corporation, for example, Anglo-American, the ministries, also the mining ministries in Brazil and other countries. Those were all attacked between 2010 and 2016. The most recent attacks, I think, were the ones last year in January. Last year, a Swiss-Belgian metals group was attacked. Nurstar, it's called, and they didn't actually disclose how much the damage cost them. Another one in March last year, Norsk Hydro, which is the largest aluminium producer in the world, had a crippling ransomware attack. A lot of these are ransomware attacks where they shut down the systems of the mining house, and they can be in the case of Norsk Hydro, they're in something like, I don't know, 30 countries or 40 countries. They shut down all of their operations, and then they demand a ransom, a very large ransom, in order to restart the systems. In the case of Norsk Hydro, it cost up to $70 million.
Mike, a lot of these companies do not publicize the fact that they've been cyber attacked. Is it a good idea to keep silent?
You know, they often keep quiet because of the embarrassment of having been attacked. Because what they're saying is we haven't protected ourselves sufficiently. We were open to attack by these cyber criminals. So it's, loss of reputation. Also, if they reputation in the industry or just in general with the public. For those reasons, they're very reluctant to publicize the attacks, and certainly a lot of them don't publicize the actual extent of the attack. But the only way to avoid publicity is to meet the cyber criminals' demands in the case of cyber ransomware. But that's not a good idea, because then they keep coming back if you pay the ransomware attack. So the cyber criminals can also leak the information about the attack if the ransom demands aren't met. So from that point of view, it's a bad idea, to keep quiet really about it.
Mike, are mining companies aware of these threats that exist, and how seriously do they take them, particularly at the boardroom level?
They are aware of them, and they are discussed at board level in most companies, more especially large companies. But at this time, it's difficult to know which is taking up more of the board's time, and that is either cybercrime or COVID-19. And in fact, they are linked to now, because cybercrime has actually been, they've measured certain companies have, and countries have measured a higher incidence of cybercrime during this COVID-19 crisis. So there are very, you know, there are a lot of high profile data breaches and cyber attacks that have occurred, you know, in these recent months. So CIOs and CISOs, that's the Chief Information Security Officers, are being called upon in the board level to answer these types of questions more and more. You know, what are the odds of our company will experience a damaging security breach? What are we doing to prevent that from happening? So it's more and more happening at board level.
Mike, let's unpack what you said about COVID-19 and the fact that more mining professionals are now working remotely. What risk are mining companies now exposed to as a result of this pandemic?
Well, as I mentioned already, the number of cyber attacks has increased quite substantially during this COVID-19 crisis. So you take organizations like IBM has stated that the COVID-19 is posing an unparalleled cybersecurity challenge. Security and IT operations are dynamically shifting to protect remote employees, clients, and business. You know, a lot of employees are not working in the company anymore, so they're not behind the safety of the internal network. They're working from their own devices from home. And there's a term called bring your own device, which is now being bandied around, which is exposing companies to cyber crime. So the challenge is now to figure out how to protect these remote devices, like employees' devices and what have you, from cyber crime. In terms of Deloitte, the consulting company Deloitte has said that the pandemic has forced organizations and individuals to embrace new practices such as social distancing and remote working. But, while the world is focused on health and economic threats, cyber criminals around the world are capitalizing on the crisis. Read a little while back that the EU actually called for a ceasefire on cyber attacks, which is a bit of a joke. I mean, cyber criminals are criminals, and they attack when you're most exposed and where you're most exposed. So they're not likely to stop doing that and making highly profitable ransom attacks just because there's a pandemic going on.
Mike, what are some of the solutions that you suggest that mining companies can implement in order to protect themselves against cybercrime?
Okay. All right. There's something called zero trust architecture. I don't know whether you've heard of it.
No.
It's a term that was coined by Forrester Research, which is a major IT research company. And basically, it's getting rid of the idea that a trusted network inside a corporation can be safe because of the fact that a lot of employees are working from home. So that's one aspect that you can look at, and there's a lot of detail behind that, the zero trust security model. And then there's the new technology and approaches to cybersecurity. You know, most cybersecurity solutions that are installed now, and almost all companies and individuals for that matter, have got some cybersecurity solution installed on their computers. But the problem is that most of these rely on finding known threats. So threats that have been identified and provided a signature and go into a database. And so when if you're using one of these cybersecurity products, you either have to do a manual update from time to time, or you have an an automated update which goes off and checks to see whether there are any more signatures that the software should look for. The newer solutions are far more innovative and don't rely only on those signature threats. They search for unknown threats. Now they do that through very clever techniques that look at the behavior of the application, like an email application or a Word document or whatever. They know what they how they're supposed to behave, and they look for abnormal behavior in the activities of these applications. That's the new technology that's now coming up, and they protect companies against unknown threats. And cyber criminals mainly do the worst ones are mainly unknown threats. They have to, every time they do an attack, they risk being found, the application being found and then signature put on it, so they won't be found again, basically. So they have to, every time they have to, they want to do an attack, they have to create a new type of threat. And most of the software that the companies have installed can't identify these threats because they're not known to them as yet, or not, there's no signature on them as yet. And then of course, we touched on the board level to have acute and very well informed attention to cybersecurity at executive management and board level. That's true, by the way, of COVID-19 as well, obviously. And then to have adequate insurance against cyber attacks. There are companies that provide insurance against cyber attacks. And not all companies, as I mentioned earlier, not all companies are insured. Something like 82% of companies don't have cybercrime insurance. So they're exposed there. Their bottom line is exposed by not having that. So just repeating that, the zero trust architecture, new technology and approaches to cybersecurity, a new protection against the unknown threats, and then acute attention at the board level, and having adequate insurance. Those are the solutions that companies can turn to guard against these unknown threats.
Great stuff. Mike Bergen, thank you very much for joining us today on Deep Insights.
Thank you for listening. Please remember to subscribe to our weekly podcast, which is available on all popular podcast platforms. Give us a 5-star rating and share Deep Insights with your social network. Also, log on to miningreview.com to access our webinars, videos, industry insights, and the latest mining news. Until next week, goodbye and stay safe.